The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to the first victorious Raiders recap of the 2018 season. That's right, the Raiders have finally won a game, taking out the Cleveland Browns 45-42 in overtime. Yes, you heard me correctly. It took the Raiders five quarters of football to beat the Cleveland Browns and get their first victory of the season, and the Bay's Golden Days is back, of course, to break down this full victory. Look at the tail of two halves. It was a story before where the Raiders were getting outscored 38-3 in the fourth quarter. Well, the Raiders' fourth quarter offense finally came back. I talked about it last week on the podcast. Where's this 2016 offense? Where's the clutch car? Where's DC's game-winning drives? Well, we got one this weekend, baby, as the Raiders win in overtime against the Cleveland Browns. We're going to get into this full matchup before we move on to week five of the NFL, where the Raiders will be traveling down to LA for another home game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Yes, we will give you the full preview for the Raiders Chargers, but first we got to recap the Raiders' first victory of the season, taking out the Cleveland Browns 45-42. I'm telling you, we had to beat the bully. Hugh Jackson, the former Raiders coach, came into Oakland, put on one hell of a show, and almost ran out of the Coliseum with the victory, but the Raiders and Derek Carr had something to say about it in overtime, and John Gruden gets his first victory back as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Welcome back, Chucky, and welcome back, the Raider Nation, to the Bay's Golden Days podcast. Let's end the intro here and get straight into the recap. Raiders, Browns, week four, baby.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
A trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield.
This should be fun.
Let's take care of business today at home.
Yeah, yeah.
We know three. One, two, three.
Make plays, make plays, make plays.
Just win, baby. And that's what the Raiders did this weekend, 45-42 over the Cleveland Browns and over Baker Mayfield, making his first NFL career start. We all saw what happened on Thursday Night Football when he came back into the game against the Jets and led the Browns to their first victory in the past 2 years. I mean, Cleveland Browns are treating this guy like he's the Messiah, like he's unlocking all these beer fridges, so he's the next great quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Well, he might be the first great quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they haven't had a quarterback since Bernie Kosar back in the day, but Baker Mayfield came out and actually looked pretty impressive in this game. Had a bunch of mistakes, ended the game with four turnovers, had two picks, two fumbles, had a few drop passes from his wide receivers, but Baker Mayfield so far as a rookie, you already saw what he's doing to this Cleveland Browns offense. They put up 42 points on the Raiders. You guys know how I feel about the Raiders defense, especially without Khalil Mack. It's not the greatest defense in the world, but this defense came out and set the tone this weekend against Baker Mayfield in his NFL debut, because Gerrion Conley, our second-year first-round rookie out of Ohio State, starts off the game with a 36-yard pick six and takes it to the house for a Raiders touchdown to put him up 7 points early. The game started with back-to-back three and outs. Raiders and Browns first couldn't do anything with their drive, and then Conley makes some pay as Callaway slips on a slant. The ball hits off his hand, pops up to his air. Gerrion Conley with the tip drill, and the redshirt rookie takes it to the house. Gerrion Conley in his second year with the Raiders. We all know what happened last year with the injuries, but he gets his first career pick six, and this was the first pick six for the Raiders since, surprise, surprise, Khalil Mack did it back in 2016 against the Carolina Panthers. So we're finally on the board. The Raiders finally got a turnover. Hell, we got four this game, but we'll get into this more and more as we go, but the Raiders defense looked great coming out the gates, giving them an early 7-0 lead. Baker would respond with a 15-play, 68-yard drive where, like I said, he did some impressive things on the day. He had a huge 4th-and-6 conversion. I was confused. I said, Hugh Jackson, he must really want to win in Oakland if he's going for it on 4th-and-6 in the first quarter about midfield. But, hey, Baker got out of the pocket, was able to scramble for a first down. Then he hits Rashard Higgins for a big 22-yard gain. Then next thing you know, it's 1st-and-goal from the Raiders' 2-yard line, but the Raiders' defense holds. 3rd-down play, we all know what the Rams have been having success on. We saw the Dolphins have success on it last week. They tried to run this little wide receiver, reverse, push pass, whatever the hell you want to call it. I've been talking about it for the last couple podcasts now. The NFL is a copycat league. They see one team have success, everybody's going to do the same thing. Everybody remembers the Wildcat and how that was the biggest fad in the NFL for 5 games. Now everybody is running this little wide receiver, reverse, push pass. The Rams got it for a touchdown. The Dolphins had 2 touchdowns against us, but the Raiders came to play and they stayed home and stayed to their keys defensively, as Arden Key was the key to this play, and he gets a huge play in the backfield, tackle for a loss, blows up the whole entire play. Markell Lee was right behind him, and the Raiders defense holds big and is able to hold him to a field goal, and it's 7-3. The Raiders would come back with their next drive and try to put up a field goal attempt of their own after Amari Cooper gets a big pass from Derek Carr to start the day off. Could have had a touchdown on a double move. It looked like Amari actually beat his corner right off the ball, but Derek sailed it a little bit. They could not connect, and next thing you know, the Raiders are attempting a field goal from the dirt, and the rookie kicker misses. So the score is still 7-3 heading into the second quarter, and the Browns wasted no time scoring in the second quarter. One play, 63 yards, Nick Chubb. Yes, the Nick Chubb out of University of Georgia. The rookie gets his first carry of the game, and he makes the Raiders pay as he busts for 63 yards straight to the end zone. I mean, this guy put on the burners. There was concerns about his knee in college and if he'd still be able to run full speed. Well, no one on the Raiders defense could catch him. No one could touch him. Tahir Whitehead missed a tackle. Eric Harris ran into a block. I mean, it looked like Jarvis Landry was blocking the corner straight into the safety. That was a terrible play by Eric Harris stepping in to try to fill the run from the safety position, but we just could not make a tackle on Nick Chubb, which seemed the whole entire game. And I'm glad the Cleveland Browns only gave him 3 carries, because he went 3 carries for 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards in this game. I don't know how they didn't use him more. Carlos Hyde did run decent in this game, but if a guy's got a hot hand, you got to keep feeding him. I won't complain about it, because the Raiders, they came back, went 3 and out, and Marshawn Lynch tries to rip off his biggest run of the game, and they blow it dead before Marshawn even touches the ground. I mean, how many times do we got to go over this? Don't ever blow the whistle until Marshawn Lynch is on his back on the ground. It's beast mode, motherfucker. He's going to run through a motherfucker's face over and over and over and over again. Hell, we've seen what he did with the Beastquake run, what he did in the playoffs against the Seahawks. You can't take this guy down. I mean, I understand the new forward progress rules. I mean, we saw it later in the game with Derek Carr getting sacked. They called it a forward progress instead of a fumble. We'll get into that later, but I don't understand these forward progress rules. I mean, half the time it seems like these NFL players are making tackles and just wrapping up and holding them up. It seems like we're getting Pro Bowl tackles now. Like, literally no one's even taking them down to the ground. The game's getting soft, but that's a whole nother podcast discussion about getting into flag football and wherever the hell the evolution of football is going to go. But as for now, and for playing real football, Beast Mode was real mad. He got pissed off, actually punted the ball after they blew the whistle. Hugh Jackson was freaking out on the sideline. He wanted a penalty, but the Raiders, because they did not get the first down, ended up going 3 and out on the play, and it completely killed the drive, while the Browns were able to respond their next drive, going 70 yards in 4 plays. When Baker Mayfield goes play action, goes deep 49 yards to his second string tight end, David Fells, and it's just terrible, terrible coverage. I mean, Reggie Nelson, surprise, surprise, and Eric Harris had a terrible day at the safety positions. Reggie Nelson comes up, just completely whiffs on the ball. Eric Harris just slips out of nowhere. It looks like they run into each other. David Fowles basically gets untouched, runs into the end zone, and it's a touchdown for the Browns. Duke Johnson gets in for the 2-point conversion this time, and it's 17-7 Browns. And I'm just thinking, where the hell is this Raiders offense at? I mean, we haven't got anything going. The biggest play was Marshawn's run that got killed by the whistle being blown early. But what do you know? AC/DC tunes it up. Amari Cooper gets a touchdown pass after Derek Carr drives the Raiders down the field 75 yards in 8 plays. He hits Jared Cook for 16 yards. Marshawn Lynch runs for a 12-yard run and then catches a 17-yard pass to set up Amari Cooper out of the slot at the 5-yard line, runs a nice little in route, and Derek Carr hits a bullet to Amari Cooper, and we got the first touchdown of the game to bring the score to 17-14 Browns. And the Raiders defense, they gave Carr one more chance before halftime to try to get this lead, because as I've said, we're undefeated this year at halftime. 3-0 in halftime this year, 0-3 in the second half, 0-3 in the fourth quarter. But Derek Carr, when he's driving the ball downfield, it looks like we're moving into Cleveland territory. And what do you know? Another ball tipped off of another person's hands. The ball hits off Jared Cook's hands, gets tipped up, and it's an interception by Randall. And halftime ends with the Browns up 17-14. The Browns would get the ball to start the third quarter, and they started off with a field goal drive after going 65 yards and 11 plays. Baker Mayfield connected with David Njoku a couple times, their second-year tight end, for 14 yards, and then hits Rashard Higgins for 23 yards. That sets up a Greg Joseph 28-yard field goal, and the Browns are up 20-14. The Raiders' next drive, they're trying to get everybody involved as possible. Martavis Bryant rips off a 26-yard slant, and if his undershirt was tucked in, it might have been a touchdown. I mean, this guy was just getting hung on and dragged for dear life. Martavis Bryant over the middle looked real explosive. Looks like he's really trying to get a grip for this playbook. But unfortunately, the Raiders went to the Martavis wishing well one too many times, because on the very next play, they go deep, and it looked like Martavis maybe had a step on him, but Derek Carr floats the ball up, gave too much time for the safety to get over and help him out. He comes in, and guess who? Randall gets another pick. I mean, this was one where I actually have to blame Derek for this one. Looked like he waited maybe a second or two too long to throw the ball to make the decision, and then he really just let it float up there. We've seen that with some of his 50-50 balls this year. He's just trying to put too much touch, get too much air underneath it. I mean, he had some great touch this week getting over middle linebackers to hit Jared Cook across the middle, but this one on a deep ball, if they're playing cover three like that, you can't give the middle safety that much time to float over to the sideline, make a play, and pick it off, and that's exactly what they did, and the Browns made them pay by scoring off the turnover within two plays, because the first play, defensive PI sets him up at first and goal. Next thing you know, Baker Mayfield hits Jarvis Landry for a 2-yard fade pass. I mean, honestly, it was decent coverage. It was just a better play by Jarvis Landry. He went up, high pointed the ball, got both feet down in the dirt, and the Browns are up 2 touchdowns now. It's 28-14. Some people are starting to clear out of the Coliseum. I mean, you can't really blame them too much. I mean, you're losing by 2 touchdowns to the Cleveland Browns, of all people. The goddamn Cleveland Browns, who the Cleveland Browns aren't as bad as they've been the past 2 years. But the Raiders, when you start the year 0-3, you trade away your best player a week before the season. You fire your beloved play-by-play color commentary guy, Greg Papa. You're moving your team to Las Vegas. Now you're 0-3, blowing 3 fourth-quarter leads. About to go to 0-4 against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, what's going on here? I can understand why people are leaving, but I would have stayed in the true Raider Nation state, because you can't call it over until the fat lady sings. The oldest cliche in the book. It's not over until the fat lady sings, and it wasn't over until the fat man got a strip, as Maurice Hurst, the rookie, fifth rounder out of Michigan. I've talked about him all year on this podcast, stepping up and making huge plays. He has a huge strip sack on Baker Mayfield. Jonathan Hankins recumbers the fumble inside of the Raiders' own 10-yard line, and this is the first time the Raiders have actually started a drive this season in their own territory. I mean, we don't have any turnovers. We saw Garon Colley's pick six was the first pick six of the season. We've seen a situation where the Raiders haven't had to go the whole entire field just to try to drive down and try to get some points. But now the Raiders get set up within their own 10-yard line, and it's just easy money. 3 plays, 7 yards.
Touchdown, Raiders!
Derek Carr drops back on 3rd and 7 and hits a fucking bullet to Jared Cook over the middle. This was great body work by Jared Cook. He kind of got in there, boxed out the defender with his body. McCrane adds the extra point kick, and the score is now 28-21. Heading into the fourth quarter, as this Raiders defense is starting to lock them up, they hold the Browns to a short drive, and then the Raiders get the ball, and in the final seconds of the third quarter, heading into the fourth quarter, Marshawn Lynch rips off a 57-yard run down the sideline. He's got Martavis Bryant in front. He's just bulldozing the corner. Hell, if Martavis Bryant was pushing him a little faster, maybe Marshawn Lynch would have just stayed behind him the whole time and scored. He cuts back, but it is a great 57-yard run. That's the longest run Marshawn Lynch has had as a Raider, and it moves him inside the Browns territory until we run into a 3rd-and-short situation inside the Browns 15-yard line. and we run a wide receiver reverse with Dwayne Money Harris. Why? First of all, Dwayne Harris is like number four, number five wide receiver, if not just our main special team kick return. He had a huge kick return, huge punt return in this game. Did great on special teams. Don't want to take anything away from him. But when I seen Dwayne Harris on the field, there's only two options. He's running straight on a streak, or he's running around on a reverse. I mean, this guy's not an NFL wide receiver. So there's not too many things that's going to be surprising when he steps onto the field. The Browns weren't fooled at all, and the Raiders had to settle for a field goal, and they're down 28-24. But what do you know? The very next drive, Baker Mayfield, the fourth quarter collapse. The man who was playing so well, nope, here comes the four turnovers. Baker fumbles the snaps, and Jonathan Hankins recovers again, his second fumble recovery of the day, and the Raiders wasted no time scoring in two plays, going 20 yards, hitting Jordy Nelson on a 19-yard dime down the seam pass from Derek Carr. I mean, put this on Dilfer's dimes. I talked about Derek trying to put too much touch, floating the ball a little bit too much on these 50-50 balls, and he's getting picked off. Well, now he's just throwing bullets in the red zone. I mean, that's been my biggest complaint for the Raiders this season, is this red zone offense has got to score more. We've got a top five offense in total yards per game. We're just not executing in the fourth quarter, not executing in the red zone, and not getting the points. Even on third down, fourth down conversions, we're having great success early, but this was great to see Derek Carr throw the bullet over the middle. No one even had a chance to get in there, and thunder strikes as White Lightning gets into the end zone.
Touchdown, Raiders!
And the Raiders are up 31-28. They would add a field goal on their next drive after the Raiders had a huge three and out. Dwayne Money Harris, I talked about him on the receiving side, but him on the punt return side had a huge punt return that took the Raiders all the way into the Cleveland Browns territory. The Raiders offense actually stalls, goes three and out. But because of the great punt return by Dwayne Money Harris, we're already in field goal position. Matt McCrane winds up and hits 44 yards, and the Raiders are up 34-28. And it's looking like, hey, we got a chance. We're actually scoring points in the fourth quarter. I talked about it in the first three games. We're outscored 38-3 in the fourth quarter. But now here comes the Raiders offense putting up points. Here comes the Raiders defense getting turnovers. And I thought this Raiders defense was going to hold here. I wasn't expecting Baker to score any more points at this point. But what do you know? Big plays, big plays, big plays. Baker Mayfield goes deep to Antonio Callaway for 59 yards, gets him all the way down to the one-yard line. Garon Colony did get beat on the play, but at least he kept up with the guy, actually tracked down Callaway, got him down at the one-yard line. I was hoping for another goal line stand, but Carlos Hyde is able to punch it in with a one-yard touchdown run, and the Cleveland Browns take the lead back 35-34. The Raiders came back and actually had a quick three and out as Derek Carr gets sacked by Myles Garrett, but this was the forward progress call that I was talking about. They blew the whistle. Watching the game live, I thought it was an incomplete pass, and then I actually heard on the radio replay later that night that they called forward progress, so it wasn't a fumble. I don't know how the hell you can call forward progress when a quarterback is getting sacked, but I'm not going to complain about it. I mean, shit. They could have picked up that ball, took it to the house. That could have been a scoop and score touchdown for the Cleveland Browns. Instead, it's just a sack. Forward progress calls it. I don't agree with the call, but this is the Raiders podcast, motherfuckers. So I ain't going to complain. It's as simple as that. Next thing you know, though, the Browns capitalized off the quick three and out. And guess who? Nick Chubb. All in that ass. Another 41-yard touchdown run. Markell Lee actually blitzed on the play, got right into the backfield, but misses the tackle in the backfield. There goes your middle linebacker. Then Eric Harris tries to step up and just eats a face full of dirt. I mean, he got shook out of his shoes and was face down laying in the dirt. I mean, it was terrible. Nick Chubb with the one cut to the outside, and it's 42-34 Cleveland Browns, and we're hoping for a miracle here. Because the Raiders have got to drive the ball downfield. We need Derek Carr. We need Captain Clutch. We need something huge to happen. And the Raiders drive all the way down to the Browns' 10-yard line. Martavis Bryant catches a big 28-yard pass. Amari Cooper has a huge 36-yard pass down to the Browns' 10-yard line. Cooper then gets a 5-yard pass. All right, we're at the Browns' 5-yard line. Second down, we run a screen. Martavis Bryant. Now, I understand this guy's pretty electric. He can break a few tackles, I guess. But why the fuck do we keep running screens within 10, 15 yards of the goal line? I mean, I talked about it on the past podcast. There's not enough room to be running all these screens. And what do you know? We lose 3 yards on the play. Jordan Nelson's in the slot, goes over the middle, tiptoes up, and cannot get his fingers around the ball. Fourth down, Amari Cooper in the slot this turn. Next thing you know, he turns inside, Derek throws the ball outside, and the game's over. At least that's what I'm thinking, that's what Raider Nation's thinking, that's what most fans are thinking. The game is over. Another opportunity blown. All Cleveland has to do now is get a first down, and the game is over. It's as simple as that. Or is it that simple? Because next thing you know, third and two, Carlos Hyde apparently gets the first down on the field. We go to the booth and there's a review and it's reversed. That's right. Carlos Hyde was down. His elbow was down. He was a yard short. I know people are complaining about it because, oh, the yellow line, it said that it was a first down on the TV. Well, let me tell you, the yellow line is not always correct. The chain is correct. And if you go back and watch the replays, yeah, if you're watching the replay where you're at the 50-yard line and looking in at an angle at the 20-yard line, it looks like he got it. But if you get that actual sideline view, you can see he's a yard short. His elbow was down. I don't get what all the controversy is. People acting like the NFL is trying to get the Raiders to win a game. Do you not fucking remember the postcard being pulled out against the Cowboys to see if it was a first down? Huh? We got to put a fucking note card in there? You're going to tell me, oh, yeah, the NFL is trying to help out the Raiders. Yo, fucking right. You remember the tuck rule? I don't got time to rant about all the times we've been fucked by the NFL and all these stupid-ass rules. Get that shit out of here. Pull out your note card. Put it in there. You needed 5 note cards. That's how short Carlos Hyde was for the first down, and the Browns ended up punting the ball back. I mean, I thought Hugh Jackson was going to nut up and say, hey, we're the bully. We're going to bully the Raiders right here. Put in Nick Chubb. The dude was averaging, what, 50 yards per carry? Put in Nick Chubb for one play on 4th-and-1. I'm surprised they didn't go for it, and I'm sure Hugh Jackson is surprised that the Raiders, after not looking as good as they have the whole entire game, falling apart a little bit in the fourth quarter, they came back. 30 seconds left on the clock. Derek Carr driving downfield. 6 plays, 53 yards. Hit Jared Cook for 19 yards. Hits Jalen Richard for 18 yards over the middle. Jalen is able to break a tackle, get to the outside, and stop the clock. Sets up Cook one-on-one on the outside. Next thing you know,
touchdown, Raiders!
Derek Carr hits him for a touchdown to potentially tie the game with 30 seconds left. We're down 42-40, and we need the 2-point conversion. Who do we call up? White Lightning, the man who replaces Michael Crabtree. I talked about it on the preseason podcast. I said this guy can do everything Michael Crabtree does and probably more. And what do you know? We call up his number for the fade route, and Jordy Nelson gets his feet down, and the Raiders tie the game 42-42, and we're headed to overtime. Now, the Browns did have 30 seconds left in that fourth quarter. Baker Mayfield goes deep, and it's actually picked off by Reggie Nelson. I know I talk a lot of shit about Reggie Nelson, but I mean, I guess I got to give him some props here. Not really, because it seemed like anybody who was playing safety at that time, it would have been an easy pick. Baker just lobbed it up late. It was really nothing. That's the end of the game. And we head to overtime where the Raiders come out. The Browns get to call the toss because they're their away team. They call tails. It's heads. The referee doesn't know what the fuck the Browns called and said the Browns will receive after Derek said, I'm going to receive, and then walked off the field. I don't know what the hell was going on. The ref is confused. I was confused, but we come back from commercial break, and the Raiders got the ball, so I wasn't confused anymore. In the first drive, the Raiders go 43 yards on 7 plays, led by a huge 3rd-and-6 ACDC 36-yard completion. But then what do you know? 3rd-and-3, Derek Carr gets sacked by Jamie Collins. This was a great blitz called by Greg Williams, the defense coordinator for the Browns. It pushes the Raiders back like 2-3 yards, which doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But it pushed the Raiders back 2-3 yards onto the dirt for a 50-yard field goal attempt. And McCrane misses, pulls the ball left, and the Cleveland Browns got a chance to move down the field. And any score wins the game. All they need now is a field goal to win. They're already at their own 40-yard line, so all they really need is 20, 30 yards. But the Raiders' defense steps up huge with a gigantic 3-and-out after Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie pulls out the hit stick on David Njoku. He almost got a penalty. Excessive force. I don't know what the fuck you're calling these day and age in the NFL. I mean, you can't even hit a guy hard anymore. If you hit him too hard, it's a penalty. I mean, what happened to the old NFL? Jacked up. Nah, now it's turning into the fucking flag football league. But luckily, they waved off the flag. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie did not get penalized for hitting David Njoku too hard, and the Browns go 3-and-out after a huge 3rd-and-5 pass breakup by Rashard Melvin. Baker was able to scramble out of the pocket, throw it up, but Rashard Melvin was able to stay step-by-step and break up the pass, and the Raiders get the ball back, and they don't even look to give Baker Mayfield another chance on the day as Derek Carr leads this offense on an 11-play, 70-yard drive down the field. There was a huge 3rd-and-3 conversion on their own 30-yard line where Derek Carr just stood up straight in the pocket, takes a fucking shot to the ribs, delivers the ball downfield, and hits Jared Cook for a huge 24-yard completion. This was the best play I've seen from Derek Carr this year. The fact that he was not gun-shy, he stood there in the pocket, didn't get happy feet, stood tall, delivered the pass, took the hit, and completed it. That's what I want to see out of my quarterback, the heart. I mean, Jared Cook came out and said on that pass, he took the heart out of his chest and showed it to a whole entire team standing in that pocket. That's my man, DC. Did come up a little bit slow on the play, but what do you know? The next 3rd-and-1 conversion, Derek Carr calls his own number, quarterback sneak up the middle. Next play, he hits Amari Cooper for 25 yards up the sideline. Marshawn rips off a big run. It's a first down. They give him the ball just to center it one more time, and it sets up the game-winning field goal for the Raiders win.
McCrane in his NFL debut for the win from 29 yards out. Ball is placed down. McCrane's kick is good to win it for the Raiders in overtime, 45-42.
McCrane with the kick, it's good, and the Raiders win. You know the saying, just win, baby. I don't care how they did it, they got the job done. 45-42 over the Cleveland Browns. And yes, I know it's the Cleveland Browns. I know it's our first win of the season, but this isn't the same Cleveland Browns that went, 0-32 the past 2 years? I mean, we saw what they did week one. They tied the Steelers. Then they should have beat the Saints. Hell, they probably would have beat the Saints if they had a kicker who could kick field goals. Then we see week three, Baker Mayfield making his debut, taking out a pretty good Jets defense in the second half and completely outplaying Sam Darnold. So, hey, I will take it. You guys all know the saying.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. That's what it is, and that's what got done this weekend. The Raiders said it wasn't pretty. Derek Carr said this was not our greatest win. It wasn't our prettiest win, but a win is a win. And what we showed out there, that was a team effort. We didn't give up, and we got the W and got the first W for John Gruden back in Oakland. Yes, that's right. Coach Chucky finally gets his first win after the first disastrous 3 weeks of his career. I mean, after going through all the Khalil Mack controversy, after starting the year 0-3, after getting shut out in the fourth quarter of games, this was a huge victory by Coach Gruden, and here's what he had to say after the game.
I just want to congratulate everybody. It's a great league, man. You ought to be proud to be in it. I know you are. There are some unbelievable acts out there of mental toughness, man. I mean, it wasn't going good. It wasn't going good at all. But we hung in there. We kept what? We keep fighting. We stay together. We ride together. And this is going to be a hell of a win for the Raiders. But I want to congratulate every one of you. Let's hear it for Derek Carr. Great job. Hey. Enjoy the victories. But just know how much better we can be, right, guys? Sure, yeah. We can be better.
First win back in the seventh.
Yeah. Hey, I love all you guys. I got one announcement for you. Everybody's getting a game ball, baby. Yeah.
We stay together, we ride together, and we fight. That's what I love to hear from John Gruden, this passion. I mean, I got so tired of Dennis Allen clapping his hands, looking like Jason Garrett on the sideline for all those years. Jack Del Rio did bring it, but it seemed like every other game, he's either Blackjack Del Rio and I'm putting my balls on the table, or he would cower underneath the pressure. I mean, regardless, at the end of the day, John Gruden is back coaching the Oakland Raiders, and John Gruden is back with his first victory of the season. You heard him said, everybody's getting game balls, but no, we can be better. And that's exactly the message that I have for the Oakland Raiders and the Raider Nation, is we are better than this 1-3 record. I said it on the podcast last week, this would have to be a must-win game, because if we would have lost to the Browns, sign it off. The season's over. You can't go 0-4 to start the season. I'm telling you, the teams that went 0-3 still had a 2% chance to make the playoffs. We're now 1-3, so hey, there it is. We still got a chance. It's a small sliver of hope after starting a year terrible. But I've said it multiple times on the podcast, the Raiders look better this year than they did last year. Scheme-wise, offensively, defensively, they look much better than what they did last year under Jack Del Rio and Todd Downing and Ken Norton. I mean, Paul Gunther, with all these old heads in the defense, playing pretty decent. Did let up 42 fucking points to the Browns this weekend, but had some great defensive calls to put pressure on Baker Mayfield in that second half, sent a lot of blitz. You saw him get shy in the pocket, had a couple fumbles, a couple interceptions, and it was huge for this Raiders defense to step up when we needed it. Maurice Hurst, I've been talking about him since we drafted him, probably my favorite draft pick of the draft. I wanted us to draft him in the first round. We ended up getting him in the fifth round because of his quote-unquote heart conditions. The man had a huge strip sack that was covered by Jonathan Hankins. We just signed Hankins a couple weeks ago. I believe he got cut by the Colts. He comes in, has two fumble recoveries for the Raiders. Bruce Irvin had a sack earlier in the game. I still need Bruce to play better. It seems like Bruce has these moments where he flashes greatness, and then it seems like he has a couple plays where he takes the play off. But overall, I thought the D-line actually played pretty well today. Markell Lee had his opportunities. As I mentioned earlier, could have stuffed Nick Chubb in the backfield on his second touchdown run of the game, but he came up and played pretty good, well, against the run. In pass coverage, Tahir Whitehead got beat a couple times, wasn't making too many tackles, and our DBs, Conley and Rashard Melvin on the outside, have their flashes of greatness, to be honest. Conley has looked like a first-round pick at times, and he's also looked like a guy who missed all of his rookie season at times. On the other side of the ball, Rashard Melvin looks like the guy who locked up Antonio Brown last year for the Colts at times, and at other times, looks like there's a reason why he could only get offered a one-year contract. He's got to prove it. So on the corners, on the outside, I think we're actually playing better, but our defensive backs in the backfield with our safeties, God, fucking trash. Reggie Nelson, like I said, had an interception in this game, but still probably was responsible for two or three of the touchdowns in this game. Eric Harris, John Gruden likes him a lot. He came up in the box and could not hit a lick to save his life. I mean, he was missing tackles left and right. Carl Joseph didn't even play this game because he's out with an injury. I've been calling for Carl Joseph all year long. Get this guy more playing time, get him healthy, and get him in there. I don't care if we got to put him at linebacker a la Deion Buchanan, a la Mark Barron. Do something with Carl Joseph to improve this defense. I can't be saying, oh, it was a great performance by the defense because we let up 42 points. But what I say on the season preview podcast, that the Raiders were going to have to score 30, 40, 50 points without Khalil Mack anyway. So this is what I expected them to do. And let's go ahead and talk about this offense and talk about Derek Carr completing 35, 58 passes for 437 yards. Four touchdowns, did have those two interceptions. As I said, one bounced off the hands of Jared Cook. The other one was just a fade that he let up hang in the air for a little bit too long. So I'll say one of those is his responsibility. But to be honest with you, Derek Carr has been playing pretty good this year. He's had his moments where they're bad, bad, bad moments where it looked really bad. Then he has his moments like this game where he looks really, really good when he's able to just put the touch over the middle linebacker to get the ball to Jared Cook, when he's able to bullet in those touchdowns to Cook, Coop, and Jordy Nelson. I mean, those were some great seam passes through the middle that no DB even had a chance of getting their hands on the ball. I mean, Derek Carr, you can say what you want about the money getting paid. I've already told you guys, I'm not giving up on Derek Carr. There's people saying, oh, we could cut him after the season and save some money, blah, blah, blah. No, Derek Carr is doing things that has not been done for this franchise in the past decade. I don't want to bring up Jamarcus Russell. Hell, we can go back to Jason Campbell maybe. Hell, maybe Marcus Tuiasosopo. I mean, Derek Carr is just heads and shoulders above the quarterback play that the Raiders have had in the past 10 years. This is Derek Carr's 14th career fourth quarter slash overtime game-winning drive. The only man who has more is Matthew Stafford, and the Detroit Lions always coming back. Two of the highest paid quarterbacks is because they win it in the fourth quarter. I talked about it on the last podcast. Where is this 2016 Raiders offense? Where was the clutch in the car? Where was the ACDC to win the games? Well, we finally got that back as Derek Carr ended the day completing 35 of 58 passes for 437 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions, and a passer rating of 92.4. I mean, the Raiders, this offense was on fire, and Derek Carr is now in the list of four quarterbacks this season, including Ben Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins. They're all four of them are on pace to break Peyton Manning's single-season passing record of 5,477 yards. Yes, you heard me correctly. There are four guys on pace to break Peyton Manning's single-season passing record. I don't know if that's got to do more with the new rules about not hitting the quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, everybody's playing with the same rules. And Derek Carr is in the top five passing yards in the NFL. Hell, Marshawn Lynch is top five rushing yards. This offense, the Raiders had two 100-yard receivers, a 100-yard rusher, a 400-yard passer for the first time in franchise history since the 1970 AFL merger. I mean, I've talked about it so much. This offense is such high-powered. Top five in the league in total offense. You just needed to score in the fourth quarter and had to keep things going because, like I said, Derek Carr has been great for most of the season. he picked apart the Broncos, only threw four incompletions. Everybody's jacking off over Patrick Mahomes putting up a decent performance against the Broncos last night. Derek Carr picked apart that same defense, only throwing four incompletions, but it's, oh no, Derek, he's David Carr. Oh, real fucking funny, yeah, because he threw a couple interceptions this year, but I've mentioned it, not all those interceptions are his fault. He's had a couple 50-50 balls. Hell, even John Gruden has taken credit for some of the mistakes that Derek Carr has made this year, and at the end of the day, the only person that Derek Carr has to impress is John Gruden, his head coach, and here's what John Gruden has had to say on Derek Carr's play so far this year.
Derek's played great all year. You know, I mean, he's had seven or eight plays that people can talk about all they want. Four or five of those bad ones that he's had are my fault, but he's played great. This is his first year in this offense. We got a rookie left tackle. Right now we got a rookie right tackle. We got a lot of receivers that are in and out of the lineup. Martavis Bryant using a lot of different guys. And, he's completing almost 75, 80% of his balls and moving our team. So I love working with him.
Top five in passing yards. On pace to break the single season passing yard record. Top five total yards per game offense. Hell, Derek Carr and John Gruden are looking way better in this offense than they ever did last year under Todd Downing and Jack Del Rio. I mean, I've probably seen more play actions called in the first 4 weeks of the season than I did all of last year under Todd Downing. We were dead last in play action calls last year. What do you know this year? Same offensive talent, same offensive line. I mean, the only new player on this offense is who? Martavis Bryant? He's had a couple plays here and there. But still, the same talent on the roster, John Gruden, is getting way more production offensively. You see Marshawn Lynch running this year. Marshawn Lynch is top five in the NFL in rushing. Lynch had 130 rushing yards. That's the seventh most he's recorded in his career and the most yards since week 10 of the 2014 season. He also added three catches for 27 yards. That's 157 yards for Marshawn Lynch yesterday. And that's not even talking about all the blitz that he picked up in pass protection. I mean, you can't get this guy off the field. You say, oh, why is he in there on third down? Because he's the best passing block on our team. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is having one hell of a resurgence. I said it earlier, the Raiders had two 100-yard receivers, a 100-yard rusher, and a 400-yard passer, first time since 1970. I mean, the Raiders were spreading the ball out left and right. Amari Cooper had 8 catches, 128 yards. Jared Cook, 8 catches, 110 yards. Martavis Bryant, 3 catches, 51. Jordan Nelson, 5 catches, 48 yards. 2-point conversions, huge on the day. I mean, Jordan Nelson, White Lightning, has been phenomenal. Nelson's score marks his 18th receiving touchdown in the red zone since 2016, which leads the NFL. I mean, God, Jordy was so disrespected the first couple weeks.
Oh, Jordy doesn't got it anymore. He's so slow. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, hold that White Lightning dick for you. Jordy Nelson getting into the end zone, playing out of the slot. I've mentioned that on a preseason podcast. Move Jordy around in the slot. Cooper's getting moved in the slot. The Raiders are doing great things in his offense. Just move their playmakers around. I mean, it's just levels and levels above the scheme that we ran last year. I mean, the Raiders completed 12 passes, gaining more than 15 yards Sunday. No NFL team has completed more in a regular season game since 2013. The Raiders had 10 15-yard plays in regulation, tied for their most since 2001. I mean, this offense is on another level. The defense has got to get there, but what do we expect? Without Khalil Mack, I told you, we had to score 30, 40, 50 points a game anyways. This Raiders team, second in total offense, 13th in points scored. John Gruden is not the problem. All these people said, oh, John Gruden, his offensive scheme is too old. He doesn't know the game passed them up. And then ignore the fact that the best coach in the NFL right now that everybody's jacking off is Sean McVay, who grew up in John Gruden's system. I mean, people are just so dumb. They don't put two and two together. They said, oh, John Gruden, time has passed him up. Yeah? How's his brother been doing in the NFL the past couple years? How's Sean McVay and the Rams looking? What has he done for Jared Goff? Get the fuck out of here, saying John Gruden doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe as a GM and Shannon Khalil Mack, hey, I agree with you there. But like I said on a season preview podcast, I put that on Mark Davis more than anything. But at the end of the day, I'm happy because we finally got our first fucking win. If there's 0-4, I was contemplating just cutting off the podcast, just going straight to the NFL betting podcast later in the week. Like, I'm done with this shit. But the Raiders still got a chance. But they got to win. They got to win big. They got the Chargers next week going down to L.A. They got to win a lot of division games. They can't afford to lose any more closing games. But as John Gruden said, this is a young team. first year in the system, getting better and better every week, and that's what I look to improve. The Raiders getting better and better every week. I mean, I'm not going to be a 49er fan and say, oh my God, our season's over in the first 3 weeks. Garoppolo's gone. Let's just lose for draft picks. No, motherfucker. We going for that AFC West title. I don't give a shit about this 1-3 start. We start 0-3. Give us that 2% chance. That's a motherfucking chance, baby. And that's the Raider Nation getting the job done this week at home, taking on the Cleveland Browns 45-42. Let's go ahead now and get into this Chargers preview real quick. I know I kind of ranted on there, but it was the Raiders' first win of the season. I had to get a nice little rant there. Let's go ahead and kick off this Raiders preview week 5, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers.
They're in your face, got what it takes. The land is on the line. Go Raiders!
Sunday at 5, the LA Raiders heat up the battlefield when they go head-to-head with the San Diego Chargers. Join California 9 as the Silver and Black prepare for the drive to Super Bowl 26. Sunday at 5 on KCAL TV.
Oh, yeah. They're the kings of intimidation. Not a plan on your favorite station.
Right here on 9.
Raiders.
Right here on 9.
The battle for Los Angeles is back as the Raiders will be returning home to LA to take on the Chargers this weekend. The Chargers are favored by 5.5 points in this matchup. I'm not sure why they're considered the home team though in this matchup preview, because we all know LA is part of the Raider Nation. The LA Raiders have won before and they will win again this weekend against the Chargers. You've heard it right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. I think the Raiders cover that 5.5 point spread, at least win you some money here, because it's do or die time for the Raiders. I talked about it on the season preview podcast this year. The Raiders would probably split games with the Chargers, but after an 0-3 start, you got to come back and you got to sweep the Chargers. You got to at least take a game from the Chiefs now, because I didn't think they won one at all, because now you got to sweep the Chargers. You got to take at least one from the Chiefs, and you got to beat the Broncos the next time you play them for sure if you want any chance of winning this AFC West. This is going to be a high-scoring game with the over-under set at about 52, 53 points. I'm taking the over. I don't care where it's at. 53.5. I'm taking it over because the Chargers, without Joey Bosa last weekend, they looked terrible. They almost lost to the 49ers. The 49ers put like, what, 27, 29 points on that ass? I don't think this Chargers defense, without Joey Bosa, I know they got Melvin Ingram on the outside. Derwin James, their rookie safety, hasn't been playing too well. Their corners were pretty locked down last year, but it's just not the same. So I'm definitely looking for the advantage of Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson this weekend. Martavis Bryant, that third man on the outside, move Jordy into the inside. I think this Raiders offense has a big day, especially if Joey Bosa does not play, because I talked about it on our podcast last week. Pretty much the matchup every week is going to be these two rookie tackles, because we don't know if Donald Penn is healthy enough to play right tackle. And to be honest, we don't know if Donald Penn is good enough to play right tackle right now, because he was a Pro Bowl left tackle but has struggled since moving over to right tackle. Brandon Parker played decent for a rookie. Colton Miller, I've talked about him a few times, he's been playing pretty well too. So we got these rookie tackles going against one of the best pass rushes in the league, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. I think that's definitely the number one matchup to look. Marshawn Lynch has got to be huge. I've talked about it all season long. He's top 5 in rushing yards. The Raiders have got to control the time of possession. We saw what we did last week. Control the time of possession, won the turnover battle against the Browns, and we won the game. Surprise, surprise. And that's exactly what the Raiders are going to have to do to beat the Chargers this week. This is going to be a high shooting affair, but someone's going to have to get after the quarterback. Someone's going to have to hit Phillip Rivers, and we just got to keep our own quarterback upright. That's my major key to this game. Derek Carr has got to have a big game, but that's what he's been doing all season long. And this Chargers defense, they've let up, what, almost 30 points to the Niners, let up 35 to the Rams, let up 20 to the Bills, let up 38 to the Chiefs. I mean, the Raiders are a top 5 offense. I think they could put up points on them. I'm looking for the Raiders to go out and go out fast and then just control the time of possession with Marshawn Lynch. We've got to dominate this game inside the tackles with our offensive line. That's obviously the strong point of our offense. Just run a ball down a motherfucker's face over and over and over again. And the Raiders should have a great chance of competing this weekend against the Chargers in AFC West division game. Keenan Allen has been balling. Mike Williams, he's probably going to have a big game. I mean, I'm just expecting a shootout. This might be the highest scoring game of the week. But at the end of the day, I think this will be a close matchup, back and forth. It'll be whoever has the ball last. This game could be decided by a field goal. So I'm really confident in these Raiders getting plus 5.5 points. So I will take the Raiders to cover the spread. I know I got the whole betting segment coming on later this week. If you didn't know, we got the betting podcast. The Straight Cash Podcast is back with my man Alan Flores breaking down the full Sunday slate of NFL games every single weekend on the Bay's Golden Days Network. But for now, my pick is the Raiders over the Chargers. I'm not that impressed with the Chargers' defense. I think they could be scored on. I'm not impressed with our defense either. But that's what I'm telling you. I'm taking the Raiders. Give me the plus 5.5 points. Give me the over at 53.5 because this is going to be probably the high scoring game of the weekend. But I like the Raiders to get the job done this weekend. Bruce Irvin, step up. I need you to play full four quarters. I need this whole Raiders team to play full quarters because even though we won this past weekend, finally scored some fucking points in the fourth quarter, it seemed like we took the first quarter off, probably took the third quarter off, took plays off. I just want to see four quarters of solid football because John Gruden said a win's a win, baby, but we can get better. The Raiders are better than their 1-3 record right now. They're better than the football they're showing to everybody. Some people are saying, oh, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in the NFL. Yeah, come into Oakland. See how many points you put up on that ass, boy. Ha ha, but I can't be talking too much shit because we are 1-3. But like I said, I got faith in this Raiders offense. I still got faith in John Gruden as a coach. Maybe even as a GM, his defensive line picks are playing pretty well. These youngins are playing decent. Offense tackles playing decent. A lot of young talent on this Raiders team. Year one in a new scheme. John Gruden, first year back after 10 years. He didn't know what's going on in the NFL. Give the guy a break. Jeez. I mean, God, how many excuses can I come up with? But at the end of the day, the Raiders got their first win of the season, and that's all that matters. It's on to the next one. Week by week, any given Sunday, you know what it is, baby. It's the Bay's Golden Days Network right here giving you everything you need to know about the Raiders 2018 season. We just gave you the Week 4 recap, gave you the Week 5 preview. You know we're going to be back next week to give you the Week 5 review versus the Chargers. Win or lose, Bay's Golden Days is going to be here every single week to break down the Raiders and break down the rest of the NFL because, as I said, I got a new betting podcast coming out every Thursday or Friday night. It's called the Straight Cash Podcast where me and my homie Alan Flores are going to go after every single Sunday game, give you the Monday night game too, by the point spread, looking at the over unders, trying to make you some money because you know what it is, the Bay's Golden Days. The Bay Area was supposed to be on a high note. I don't know what's happened this past year. Jimmy Garoppolo falling, Khalil Mack getting traded. We're not in the Bay's Golden Days. We were a couple years when we started this podcast, but maybe if we win you some money, we'll all be living in the golden era. That's what it is. That's what it's going to be. It's the Bay's Golden Days on Instagram, MySpace, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Bay's Golden Days. Check out the website, bgdsports.com. I don't care if you follow me or not on Twitter. If you really want to, you can find me. But if not, keep on looking and keep on listening and keep on downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. Once again, thank you for everybody taking the time out of your day to listen to this Raider Recap podcast. We finally got a win for you. Finally got the first victory of the season. And Coach Chucky is back with the Raider Nation getting his first victory in the past 10 years. And I think it's only a sign of what's to come. I know it's been a rough year to start the year. No Khalil Mack, no Greg Papa, no wins in the first 3 weeks of the season. But here we are, Raiders. We got a win and we got a chance to improve and build on this for the rest of the season. So we'll see what happens. And until next time, you know what it is, baby. It's golden. Golden, golden, golden.
Stay gold, pony boy. Stay gold.